There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Takes a shot, runs into the box, shot, score!
It's time for Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, goal!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer. And U.S. Soccer and the Shebelees Cup in Atlanta on April 6th. And Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs, save more lives.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it. Atlanta Soccer Tonight is live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. Thanks for hanging out with me after Hawks preseason basketball. We're going to talk some Atlanta United, so we are going to keep it local. We're also going to talk about the U.S. men's national team. The Maurizio Pochettino era has now begun. You're going to hear from your new U.S. men's national team manager. A little bit of a mission statement that he dropped that I wanted to dig into. Obviously, the 3-4-3, y'all know how the show ends, but let's know how it starts tonight. Atlanta United still has a pulse. Atlanta United still has a potential playoff future going into decision day, not this upcoming weekend, the following weekend, because this is an international break. I know. FIFA's really got to do something about this. It's too many breaks in this portion of the calendar. It's disruptive to everybody, whether your season is just started or whether it's at the end. It's disruptive having three straight months with international breaks. That's got to change. They've got to look at the calendar. They've got to figure this out. But it is what it is. The break has not been kind to Atlanta United in the past. Momentum that they have gained previous has dissipated coming out of the break. That can't happen here because this is the last 90 minutes of the season, and it's in Orlando. The reason why Atlanta United has a pulse is they got the job done at home against a team that they often haven't gotten the job done against, the New York Red Bulls. This has been a bogey team for Atlanta United, and over the past couple of weeks, Atlanta's won 4 of 6 possible points against the Red Bulls. In a crazy season that at times hasn't made any sense, at times has been incredibly frustrating, at times has looked very, very promising, and at times has looked incredibly bad. These last few weeks against some teams that Atlanta, when you look at their record and you look at the opponent's records, Atlanta shouldn't be getting some of these points if you just play the record game. They are. it's weird. I went through it and I wasn't quite sure what I would find. I knew kind of how it felt. I went through Atlanta's record against teams that are currently in playoff positions and teams that are currently in non-playoff positions in the table. Now, obviously, you've played a lot more games against teams that are in playoff positions. Welcome to Major League Soccer. You are 6-11-5 against those teams. 6 wins, 11 losses, 5 draws. That's not good. But normally in this situation, when you are a team that is at the record that Atlanta United is at, well, you'd beat up on the teams that are below you, right? No. Atlanta's 3-3-5 against non-playoff teams. And that's the big issue with this team in 2024. They have played better opponents pretty well for a team that is where they are. I think they're a better team than 12th in the table. How much better? I have no idea. Can they get to 9th? Can they get to 8th? That's still on the cards. Atlanta could be hosting a play-in game in 2 weeks from tonight. We could be having the full-time report right now talking about that play-in game and what happened. That's crazy. When you go through the roller coaster that this team has been on over these past few weeks, the game on Saturday was kind of that roller coaster as well. The first half was different than it had been lately, where this team had started slow against teams. They did not in this case. They started very well. I thought they played very, very well against the New York Red Bulls overall for the 90 minutes. I thought it was a very strong overall performance. When you look at the numbers, they back that up. I thought Atlanta was the better team by a pretty wide margin, almost tripling the shot created actions for the Red Bulls. More than doubling the expected goals, more than tripling the expected goals. I thought Atlanta was the better team, but it kind of looked like a game that we've seen play out a few times, right? Where you're the better team, but you don't find that moment. Well, things got chaotic, so that moment kind of appeared in a couple different ways. Dylan Nealis lost his head, and a great play from Edwin Mosquera. And it's one of those, you don't get anything in the stat sheet for doing this, but it's a ball over the top. Mosquera times it right. He gets between Dylan Nealis, who had just come into the game not that long before this, 20 minutes before, came in at halftime, and he kicks Mosquera as he tries to kick the ball because Mosquera jumped in front. He's the last man. It's a red card. It's denial of an obvious goal scoring opportunity, because if not, Quintero or Mosquera brings it down and he's going to goal. Amazing. So you get that benefit right there. Then not that long later, after all kinds of chaos and a long video assistant referee review that I had a big issue with, if you listen to the broadcast, Alexei Maranchuk converted the penalty that Jamal Traore earned. There were 3 yellow cards in the pull apart, after 4 yellow cards actually, because Emil Forsberg got one immediately for dissent. Absolute chaos. Maranchuk put it away. Looked like the game was put to bed when Tyler Wolf scored in the 97th minute, but the Red Bulls in the 103rd minute, no, there was no extra time in this match, Serge Gomez put one away to make it 2-1. You lost a clean sheet, got the 3 points. And that keeps you alive in the playoff race. Let's hear from the interim manager, Rob Valentino. He was asked after the match what he saw Saturday that he had not been seeing in the last 5 or so matches. Here's Rob Valentino.
Goals. Goals help. It felt different. That the first half, like, that's what I was saying to them in there. Although there was no goals at that point, It felt different. I don't know if you guys maybe feel the same inside the building. The energy felt different. The intensity, the commitment level, and the real belief in each other felt different to me. It looked different. So, and then the longer the game went, I felt like they had more belief in it. And then obviously the goals will change games. It got insane, as things tend to do here towards the end. But it just felt different. And then when the goals come and the red card happens, it just, the game starts to open up a little bit, and yeah, it gets out of hand. But I like it that way, I guess, as long as we're on the other end of it.
Yeah, definitely being on the other end of it. That was Rob Valentino. This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, looking back at Atlanta United's win over the New York Red Bulls, keeping their playoff hopes alive. Valentino was asked about the last 5 games, which I think are all entirely different bags, and it's kind of hard to lump them all together. The loss to Nashville was the one 5 games ago, but going into that one, and it was a bad loss all the way around. Bad performance, bad everything. Miami, bad start, good finish. You get a draw against the best team in the league. Red Bulls, 2-2 draw on the road in isolation. Very good, but you had the lead and you conceded a very, very, very late equalizer to throw a couple of points away that right now would have you much closer to a playoff spot and having more opportunities to get in to the playoffs. A draw with Philadelphia, which was a good result. I thought you were the better team on the night. Couldn't find the winner, but were the better team and probably deserved more out of that. And then a loss to Montreal, who's a very good team. And you didn't get it done at home on a night where you needed to. And where you weren't that bad, but you weren't good enough. And then a huge response against the Red Bulls. I think we have to look back at some other games throughout the season if you're looking for some of this conversation about what went wrong and what needs to be different. Goals are a big part of it. This is a team that, you know, has scored twice against Miami, twice against Red Bulls, once against Philadelphia, once against Montreal, twice against Red Bulls. They found some goals. They haven't always found goals when they've needed it. They've also missed Ronald Hernandez in this stretch of games after the League's Cup that at times has been baffling with the intensity level. Hernandez was playing the best soccer of his career going into League's Cup, had an injury, started to come back, had another injury, and had to play on Saturday night because Brooks Lennon was suspended due to yellow card accumulation. We didn't know how long Ronald Hernandez could go. It wasn't a slam dunk that he would get the start because of that fitness level. He ends up going the entire time. And here's Rob Valentino on Ronald Hernandez from after the match against the Red Bulls.
Yeah, he was very consistent. Ronald, he's just persistent. Like, this is, I'm not touching on what happened tonight, but I'm just looking at him as a kid, like a player on the team. He is just persistent. He's had setbacks. He's sometimes started games, sometimes been a sub, sometimes not played. He's had two injuries. He's had setbacks within that, but he just keeps showing up. He just doesn't go away, and I mean that in the best way possible. He shows up every single day to do his job to the best of his ability, and he hasn't played in a long time, and to put a performance in like that, to play longer than 45 minutes was incredible. And obviously he played the whole game. It's just, I mean, it's a big testament to who he is as a person. But that's a good example of a good pro.
He's a character guy. And I think when you hear Rob Valentino talk about Ronald Hernandez and the way we've talked about this team at times over this stretch of games where you've needed not a good performance, but a statement-making performance. You need character and personalities in the group to achieve those things. And I think Ronald Hernandez, when he took over for Caleb Wiley, playing left back, by the way, which is not his natural position, I think he brought some of that to this group. I think he brought some of that to this group on Saturday night, and I think the rest of the group responded. I think this is a group that at times needs leadership on the field. And that's not always vocal. That's not always a captain's armband. I think Brad Kazan is an outstanding leader for this team. I think sometimes you need the lead by example element. And Ronald Hernandez 100% gives you that. So we're going to talk more about this next week leading into the trip to Orlando. But Eastern Conference, as you go into these last couple of games around the league, there are a couple of teams that have an extra game, not many of them. Miami has won the Supporters Shield. They're going to win the East. They're on 71 points. They might set a record. Columbus is next. They are the defending champs. They will be in second, no questions asked. They have 2 games to play. They have a 4-point lead on Cincinnati. Cincinnati has a 4-point lead on Orlando, so that means Cincinnati is locked into third. Orlando is not locked into fourth. New York City is in fifth, 2 points back. Charlotte is in sixth, 2 points behind New York City, so they could jump that. Red Bulls are on 47. They can't jump New York City, but they could jump Charlotte. They have avoided the play-in game. The play-in game, and this is the biggest story on decision day. 4 teams, 2 spots, everything on the table. DC is right now in eighth. Montreal is right now in ninth. Both are on 40 points. Identical record. DC's got a 3-goal difference advantage. Toronto is technically in 10th, but they are eliminated because they're done. They don't play on decision day. Philadelphia and Atlanta also on 37 points, also with the same record. Philadelphia has the best goal differential of the four teams. Atlanta has the next best. If Atlanta and Philadelphia win and DC and Montreal lose, then you get to a situation where you have four teams on 40 points and Philadelphia would be eighth and Atlanta would be ninth because of the goal difference situation. And just to give you the update on who is playing who on decision day as we go to break here on our first segment of Atlanta Soccer Tonight, in these games that matter, DC is hosting Charlotte, who has something to play for. Montreal is hosting New York City, who has something to play for. Atlanta, obviously, going to Orlando. Philadelphia is hosting Cincinnati, who doesn't really have anything to play for. So that's a question mark when it comes to Philly. But you need at least one of DC or Montreal to lose. Philadelphia, if they draw, you would jump them if you win. Lots of permutations. We'll talk all about it next week on Atlanta Soccer Tonight. But decision day will be very, very important, and we will be all over it here on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. But coming up next, I want to get into the U.S. men's national team. Mauricio Pochettino is now in charge. He's had training sessions. He's got a squad. He has made big, bold public statements. We're going to talk about them right after this on Atlanta Soccer Tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
When it comes to the world of soccer, we've got you covered.
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. We're one segment in. We're crossing over into the 11 o'clock hour, following up some Hawks preseason basketball. Getting into the U.S. men's national team. Plenty more on Atlanta United as we get ready for decision day. We've got a little bit of time there. But the U.S. men's national team is in action this Saturday, hosting Panama before a match against Mexico next Tuesday. Well, plenty to talk about with that one. We'll kind of set the table for that one because it's a 10:30 kickoff. Those are Mauricio Pochettino's first games. I don't want to get into the squad announcement because I feel like that's an overrated element of this. The squad is what the squad is. It's not like Pochettino is able to bring players with him. It's not like there were these hidden gems that were outside of the U.S. men's national team pool that nobody was talking about. Kind of something you have to keep in mind when we talk about expectations for the squad. But I want to play something that I feel like is essentially a mission statement. That's what I titled the clip in my files here. And it makes me excited about the Mauricio Pochettino era. I was excited with the hire. I would have honestly liked to have seen it after the World Cup because I would love to see him have time to really cook and really impact soccer in the United States. I mean, maybe there's some possible way that he decides to stay on after the World Cup. That would be amazing. I think he's a brilliant soccer guy. I think he's got a very high soccer IQ. I think he understands the game and he feels the game in a very similar way to how I do. So we're simpatico and I'm excited about Pochettino and I'm really excited after hearing this. This is him talking about how he wants his team to play and what's important about how he wants his team to play. Here's Mauricio Pochettino from last week.
But then it's two phases on the game that you need to control. With the ball, that for me is the principal objective because I am a coach and we are coaching staff that we love to dominate the games and, of course, to have the possession and to have the ball because I think it's the best way, first of all, to defend and second, because if we want to win in the way that we want to win is to play closer to the opposite goal. But and then it's the phase when you lose the ball that we are going to be very, very, very demanding. In when we lose the ball, we need to be desperate to recover as soon as possible but we need to work like a team. In this moment, we need to show that we are a real team. All the team that wins and won titles, or you can see Argentina winning the Copa America or the World Cup. Of course, when they have the ball, play really well. But when they don't have the ball, they work like a team. They are really, really, really rough in the principles. And I think we need to enjoy when we don't have the ball and try to recover and be really strong and very strong defensively. We need to be very competitive. It's not only to play football, nice football. It's to be very competitive. That, for me, is the objective. And some pundits, they were talking, because I follow, of course, the media now more in USA, more than you believe. And many of the professional pundits that they were talking, and I am agree that we need to create a very good way to way, exciting play to way. But when we don't have the ball, we need to defend, and we need to be strong, and we need to enjoy defending, because we need to be a team that not concede too many goals if we want to, you know, to achieve the objective that on the end is 2026, is to prepare the team for the World Cup.
Love that statement from Mauricio Pochettino on so many different levels. You want to be entertaining. You want the ball. You believe in having the ball. You believe in the importance of having the ball. But when you don't have it, you have to enjoy defending. You have to want it back. You have to be very competitive in winning it back. That's the kind of football, soccer, that I enjoy. That's what I think the best teams that give themselves the most control over their outcomes, that's the way that they play. You can be very defensive, and you can cross your fingers, and you can hope that you don't get beat that way, knowing that you're probably not going to create very many chances. Not a huge fan. You can be wide open and crazy and not have much of a structure. Not really a big fan. You can be super direct, not really care about possession, and just basically hope to roll the dice and it come up your number as much as possible. Hope you can flip a coin and you call it right every time. I don't like 50-50 games. I don't like teams that play for 50-50 balls. I don't like teams that look for knockdowns all day. It's not what I enjoy. I don't think it's the way that this team should be built. I don't think it's what's going to inspire people. I like what Pochettino wants to build. I like how he explained it there. I thought he was very clear. Thought he was very thorough. That's a 2-minute clip, and that's a mission statement, folks. That is Mauricio Pochettino telling you how his teams will play. It ain't about a formation. It's not about one specific type of personnel. It's not about any of that. It's we want the ball. We want to enjoy when we have the ball. We want to make things happen when we have the ball. And then when we don't, we need to enjoy defending, and we need to be competitive, and we need to get the ball back. Simple, right? That's not complicated. That's not difficult. That should be at the heart of everything about soccer in this country. We need to be more entertaining. You want to know why I get so frustrated with the New York Red Bulls and Philadelphia Union and St. Louis City SC and a few other teams around the country that play in certain ways? I don't think they play a game that's very inspiring. I don't think they do good things for soccer in this country. I don't like ugly games. I like games that have drama to it, of course. I like games that are competitive, of course. I enjoy and respect teams that want to play and have that kind of a mission statement about how they want to play. I think Mauricio Pochettino is going to be good for soccer in this country. I wanted to share one more clip from Pochettino, and don't let some of the pundits hear this because they're going to get very upset because, man, people had some really dumb takes after Greg Berhalter's time was over about he's not mean enough to the guys. It's too nice. He's too nice to them. Silliness. I don't know. Maybe they had watched Varsity Blues and decided they wanted Bud Kilmer as the head coach for the U.S. men's national team. Some very well-respected people got really hung up on that aspect of things. Very well-respected managers in a variety of different levels have very opposite things to say, including the new U.S. men's national team manager, Mauricio Pochettino, who spoke about that here last week.
I think that it's not easy to be a coach, but more difficult is to be a coach in a national team because players arrive from their clubs tired, traveling, you know, with all the pressure that they suffer, you know, in their clubs. And then it's important to find a good balance in between for them to have the possibility to, they need to be happy. They need to enjoy in the way that they will be in the camp. Being responsible, being professional also, that is the most important thing, but it's our responsibility to create a very nice environment. They need to feel that, oh, arrive the camp, we are going to be all together in the national team, we are going to enjoy playing football. I need to play freedom. I need to enjoy playing. I need to, you know, to help the national team to earn, you know, all that we want. It's completely different, you know, the management in between a club and in the national team, because our job is to analyze, you know, to try to provide in an individual way the best tool for them. If players need to rest a little bit more, players need to work in a physical condition because they didn't play in the last months. Players that play maybe too many games, maybe to reduce, you know, to the physical, you know, approach, and to work more in the emotional way or psychology way, or more about the tactical way. And I think it's going to be a real challenge, very exciting challenge for us. We are thinking in all this. We need to create the necessity, and we need to, for the player, need to feel that they need to be exciting when it's going to be the next camp, because we want to meet the national team and enjoy and be all together and enjoy playing football.
Oh, no. That's the U.S. men's national team manager talking about how the players need to be able to enjoy playing their football. I know. It's frightening. This is what everybody wanted. Mauricio Pochettino as the manager, and he's saying some crazy things about, I don't know, having the players actually enjoy being there. Yeah, I'm kidding, of course. If you've heard me before talk about this game, you, of course, need to enjoy it. And I really like what he had to say. I want to focus on one aspect of it first, though, before we get into more hijinks. Pochettino nailed it when he talked about the differences between the club game and the national team game. It's a very different job. He's going to have to adjust. His staff is going to have to adjust. You don't have the players daily. You have them maybe for a week out of 4 or 5 months of the year. You're going to have a few more extended periods of time with this group between now and the World Cup, but not much. You're going to be talking to a lot of guys outside of camp. You're going to have to deal with a lot of that. It's very different. He has to adjust, and we'll see how he does that. But I love what he said about, it's our responsibility to create a very nice environment. They need to feel that when they arrive at the camp. They need to feel that we're going to be all together in the national team and enjoy playing football. I know, it's craziness, isn't it? People got so hung up on Greg Berhalter trying to do that. Even the players, some of them, not all of them, but some of them started to repeat that kind of silliness about, you know, they needed to be, I guess, yelled at. I mean, it was kind of going back to what Brad Friedel said when he was at the New England Revolution, and he was upset that people didn't yell at his players after a loss in the grocery store. I mean, come on. We're not in 1960 anymore, and it's a good thing that we don't have these things. Of course, guys need to be challenged, and you need to see it. They're going to have to find that from within. A manager yelling at him is not going to make that happen. And if that's what that player needs, then they probably don't need to be at that level. It's very frustrating that conversation came up. Mauricio Pochettino threw a whole bucket of cold water on it with those comments. I love what he had to say. I feel even more excited about the Pochettino era with this national team. I also feel excited about it after hearing from Tim Ream after training today. All of these clips, by the way, big thank you to U.S. Soccer and Veritone for them. Here's Tim Ream after Tuesday's training session, the first full real session with Mauricio Pochettino.
Yeah, training's been good. We had the full group together today for the first time. It's intense. I mean, we had a pretty long session. I'd say one of the longer ones we've had with you know, the national team set up. So just working on basics. Looked at a few things from yesterday's training and reviewed that, and As a result, they worked in some movement things and connection things with the back line and midfielders, and the attackers all went together and worked on a few things. So yeah, just really getting their ideas into our heads and into our understanding to make sure that we're all on the same page going forward.
Really like hearing that from Tim Ream. An intense session. It was hard work. But as Pochettino has talked about, he wants the players to enjoy the hard work, embrace the hard work, and it's going to make them a better squad in general. One more segment to go on AST. It's the 3-4-3, three local stories, four headlines, three things that make me smile about this game that I love so much, in addition to what Maurizio Pochettino said. All that's coming up next in five on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time to wrap up tonight's show with the 3-4-3.
3-4-3.
Three local stories, four headlines from around the world, and three things that made you smile about the game.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, and now it's time for the 3-4-3, brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. I'm Jason Longshore. Y'all know how AST ends by now. Three local stories, four headlines, three things that make me smile about this game that I love so much. Let's start with the local side. Numero uno, Noah Cobb and Luke Brennan. They have been called up by the U.S. Under-20 men's youth national team from Atlanta United. Cobb is one of 11 guys that joined from the same U-20 group that successfully qualified for the World Cup this summer at the CONCACAF U-20 Championship. finished as the runner-up after an extra time loss to Mexico in the final. Luke Brennan joins them based off of his play with Atlanta United 2 and with Atlanta United this season. The U-20s are going to go to Chile, who is hosting the U-20 World Cup. Friendly matches on October 12th and October 15th, and the training camp will be in Santiago from yesterday through the 15th. Number two on the local side, big game over in Athens on Thursday. The Georgia Bulldogs hosting the number four Mississippi State Bulldogs. 6:30 kick. You can watch it on SEC Network Plus if you can't make the trip over to Athens. A great place to see a game, by the way. Georgia, on the women's side, unbeaten in 6-3-4 in 2024. They are trying to defend their SEC tournament title from last season. Number three, a team that we have not talked about very much on AST over the years, the Covenant Scots from Lookout Mountain, Georgia, D3 men's soccer. They have won their last five matches. They are 9-2-1 overall this season. And this week, they have both the Collegiate Conference of the South Offensive Player of the Week and the CCS Defensive Player of the Week. Whit Tisdale and Tyler Swinehart are those recipients. Tisdale on the offensive side, 4 goals, 1 assist over 3 games last week. He scored the winner at LaGrange to start the week. He also had 2 goals and a 5-0 win over Huntingdon. Swinehart anchored the defense, only gave up 1 goal over 180 minutes in those 3 games. He played all of the minutes in all of those games. 2 clean sheets, 1 goal conceded. Covenant, a D3 team to keep an eye on. We've talked a lot about Oglethorpe, a lot about Emory. Covenant is another one from the state of Georgia that you might need to keep up with because they might just make a run and get into the national tournament. 4 headlines from all over the world. We're going to start in Major League Soccer in Chicago. They have a new manager and a new director of football. I don't know if you can really call it a director of football in Major League Soccer, but I digress. Greg Berhalter, who we talked about a little bit in the last segment. He got yelled at because he was nice to people. Well, he's going to have a lot of jobs in Chicago as he will be the director of football and the manager, director of football and head coach. The terminology is all over the place. Berhalter is going to do everything. That's very hard to do. There's only one other person in Major League Soccer who is doing that, by the way, and that's Peter Vermes because he's done it forever in Kansas City. There's a reason why around the world, most managers do not handle the director of football side of things because they're both full-time jobs, both of them. There's 24 hours in a day. I don't think he's a vampire. He's going to have to sleep at some point. I don't know how this works unless he gets the right person to help him on the director of football side, where, yes, he'll be that entitled, but he will have a right-hand person on that side. That's going to be really important. He's going to be formally unveiled next week. We'll be really curious to see what he has to say. I'm not surprised that he goes back to Chicago to do this. I'm not surprised that he gets a major offer from a club that is a sleeping giant in Major League Soccer, a club that should be better than they have been. Can he turn it around all by himself? No. Can he get the right people to help him do it? Hopefully, we'll see how that goes. Number two on the headlines, World Cup qualifiers this week. Argentina has some in South America. They are training in Miami. Kind of nice to have Lionel Messi at Inter Miami, you know, probably borrow the keys to the facility from David Beckham, from Tata Martino. You know, everybody's happy. Well, it's a problem, as Lionel Scaloni talked about today, because his team's got to get to Venezuela for a game on Thursday. That's not easy right now because there is a Category 5 hurricane that is set to make landfall on the west coast of Florida, Hurricane Milton. That's going to affect the Miami area as well. Argentina planned to travel on Wednesday to Venezuela. That could be changed because of all of the stuff going on. Scaloni talked about trying to move it up to leave today. They were not able to do that. If the weather permits and they can get out to the airport, they are going to leave tomorrow and play on Thursday. He said it will be difficult for us. We will arrive just one day before the game. We have to make a stop because they're not allowing flights from American soil directly to Venezuela. these are things that do not depend on us. We have had bad luck with this situation, but the most important thing is the safety and health for the players and the rest of us. There's been talk about that game being pushed back to Friday. He had a more complete session today with the group. He only had 10 players available on Monday as guys were arriving in Fort Lauderdale. There's some logistics that are out of their control, but there's also, you know, this hurricane isn't exactly completely coming out of nowhere. And Miami's not really that close to Venezuela. And you knew you couldn't go straight to Venezuela anyway. So, look, there's trade-offs. We'll see how this goes with Argentina, but keep an eye on them. There's a lot of other more important things with Hurricane Milton bearing down on the western coast of Florida. And all of our best wishes and thoughts are with the people in that area, which is really basically the entire state of Florida that's going to be affected by this. Number three on the headlines, Bolivia. They play Venezuela, not the first game of this duo, but the second game. And they are going to play that match in El Alto, a city located in the highlands. Just about all of Bolivia is in the highlands. This one is over 4,000 meters above sea level. They're obviously hoping that gives them an advantage. It will. How much of an advantage we'll see. Bolivia is on the bottom of the South American standings in World Cup qualifying. They've made it to one World Cup. That was the last time the World Cup was in the United States in 1994. Altitude played a role in that. It did, but the altitude's been the same in other competitions as well, and they haven't qualified. They had a top-tier generation of players that came through in that era with Marco Echeverri and Jaime Moreno and others. They don't have that right now. I don't know if altitude's going to solve the issue for them, but Venezuela is a team that they think they can get the better of. Venezuela is trying to qualify for their first World Cup, and they might just do it. We'll see how they handle the altitude in Bolivia. Number four on the headlines, let's jump over to the Asian qualifying and get caught up. Australia is hosting China in Adelaide on Thursday. Both teams looking for their first win in the third round of Asian qualification. Australia's in fifth place, 1 point in two games. China has lost both of their matches. They are in sixth, last place. This is kind of a complicated setup for qualifying this time around. The top two finishers in each of these three groups will go directly to the finals. The third and fourth placed teams will go to a playoff round. If you finish in fifth or sixth, you're out. Right now, that's where Australia and China is. Australia has made a managerial change. Tony Popovich is now in charge. We'll see how that goes. He won the Asian Champions League in 2014 with the Western Sydney Wanderers from the A-League. He's promised improvements. China's only made one World Cup in 2002. They're in really bad shape. They lost 7-0 to Japan. They lost at home to Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia played with 10 for the majority of that match. They're 91st in the world rankings, lowest they've been in 8 years. They're missing their top player in this match. Eek. Japan and Saudi Arabia, they are very good in Group C. Japan is playing second place Saudi Arabia in this match. Japan whooped up on China, whooped up on Bahrain, 12 goals in two games. They pretty much have their full squad. Saudi Arabia does not. They are missing some pieces for this match. Remember, Roberto Mancini is there in Saudi Arabia managing that team. South Korea, they're taking on Group B leaders Jordan without Sun Heung-min, who they're hoping that he will be back soon, but not going to be there for this one. South Korea drew their opener with Palestine. They won 3-1 over Oman. Jordan, they beat South Korea in the Asian Cup semifinals in February. They lead the standings on goal differential. They are in good shape. Iraq and South Korea are on 4 points as well, but Jordan leads it on goal difference. Group A, Uzbekistan, they are facing Iran. Both teams are on 6 points after their first two games. 3-point gap to the UAE, who is behind them. Top two in each of the three groups qualify. And then the third and fourth place teams go to a further round for a play-in qualification opportunity. Three things that make me smile as we wrap up AST on a late night on a Tuesday. Number one, Andres Iniesta, one of the all-time greats. He officially retired as a player today. This is a guy who, in Spain, rivalries are maybe the most intense in the world. Argentina would argue that. There's a few other countries that would argue that. But in Spain, if you lived through and consumed it in any capacity as a casual fan, as a hardcore fan, the Barcelona, Real Madrid, if you remember the four Clásicos in like 2.5 weeks, the nation was basically ready to fight itself. The other fans of other teams, which is a much smaller number than the fans of Real Madrid and Barcelona, they kind of sat back and laughed. But it was insane to the point that national team teammates are getting into fights with one another. Andres Iniesta was always above that. Iniesta, he transcended it. He got standing ovations pretty much everywhere in Spain. Real Madrid gave him a standing ovation after he thrashed Real Madrid in a match. Espanyol, Barcelona's major rival in Barcelona, standing ovation. He's one of the most respected players to ever come from Spain. Scored the World Cup winning goal in the final in 2010. He was very emotional at the event. Around 500 people were there, former teammates, delegation from Barca, of course, family members. He said, "I never thought this day would arrive. I never imagined it. All the tears over the last few days are not tears of sadness, but of emotion, of pride." He is going to take his coaching badges. He wants to return to Barcelona in some capacity one day. This is a guy who at 12 years old joined the Barcelona Academy, made 54 appearances for the B team before breaking into the senior team in 2002. Legend for Spain, legend for Barcelona, became a legend in Japan as well with Vissel Kobe. An incredible player, Andres Iniesta. He is now officially retired. Number two on things that make me smile, Major League Soccer. They surpassed 11 million fans. They have broken the league's regular season attendance record. There is decision day left and a couple of other games as well. That's pretty amazing. 16 games left in overall. They're going to go way past the mark of last season. Yeah, they had a full year of Messi. Yeah, they had other big names that have come to the league. But this league continues to grow and grow, and it's very exciting to see it up close. And number three, look, after the game against Montreal, that was a very disappointing loss for Atlanta United. I hoped that Atlanta could end the regular season home schedule on a high, playing well. They did. They played very, very well. It was a very thrilling time Saturday night at the Benz. Very loud, very intense. The last goal from Tyler Wolf for Atlanta United. Big time moment. Loved it. Really happy that the fans turned out in big numbers and that they were treated to a very, very good display. Thank you for hanging out with me tonight. I really appreciate it. AST will be back next Tuesday, 10 o'clock. We'll talk U.S. men's national team as they'll play Mexico that night. And we'll get ready for decision day. Atlanta going to Orlando, not this weekend, next weekend. AST next week. Get you all set for that. Adios, everybody.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.